Support for KPLU's Studio Sessions comes from People's Bank, working with businesses and families to achieve their financial goals since 1921. People's Bank provides personal banking, business services, and home lending from 25 Western Washington locations. Info at peoplesbank-wa.com. People's Bank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I couldn't be more excited to welcome a Grammy-nominated singer and drummer to our studios today. It's Jamison Ross and his band. A native of Florida, Jamison Ross went straight from college to singer Carmen Lundy's band, which led to worldwide tours. Then the University of New Orleans beckoned, where he earned a Master's of Music degree. Just a few years ago, he won the prestigious Thelonious Monk Institute drumming competition, and his new album, Jamison, is nominated for Best Jazz Vocal Album at the Grammy Awards coming up February 15th. Let's give him the KPLU bump. Performing with Eric Reed on piano, Rick Lawler playing guitar, and Barry Stevenson on bass. And right now, help me welcome the Jamison Ross Band.
Gentle is your love, softer than a breeze, radiant as the flower. These things you are to me, sweet as summer rain blowing through the trees, fresh as morning air, yeah. These things you are to me. Eyes that glow in the night, they sparkle like diamonds, reflecting like gold. Your nature's precious gift to my dream. These things you are to me. Smoother than the wind, blowing through the trees, fresh as morning air, yeah. These things you are to me. Whoa. These things you are to me.
Things you are to me. Whoa.
you're my heart, yeah. These things you are to me. These things you are to me.
All right. Drummer and singer Jameson Ross and his band, Eric Reed at the piano. We got Barry Stevenson on bass and Rick Lawler on guitar. Jameson Ross, I want to talk a little bit about education in this first break, because I know you've been through a lot of great schools. In fact, before school even, you were raised playing music in the church. And I wonder if you could tell us how church music translated into going to high school and learning from teachers.
Yeah, well, you know, growing up in the Church of God in Christ and in the church, you know, you didn't read any music, you know, you didn't have any instructions. You know, it was just like you use your ear and you follow along, you know. And as gospel music grew through the years, you know, things become a little bit more complicated, where you have to, you know, learn a lot of hard arrangements, you know, by ear, you know. And it becomes, along with the time, you know, things modernize, you know, you start to get into electronics. And so what happens is gospel becomes a very difficult music, but with no music, with no charts, with no roadmap. You know, only roadmap that you're giving is up here, you know, for you to remember. And so taking that experience and my parents, I'm very thankful, put me in an atmosphere to be around some great musicians who are learning the music the legit way, shall we say, if you want to say, you know. Learning how to read, learning how to articulate the music, how to talk about it. You know, I would sit at the organ when I was young and play, you know, and I wouldn't know what a dominant seventh chord was. I would hear it. And so when you get to college and you get to, you know, the art school that I went to in Douglas Anderson School of the Arts, Jacksonville, Florida, you start to learn that. Oh, this is a major seven. Oh, wow, wait a minute. This is a diminished chord. Oh, okay, so wait a minute. When I'm in church, I play it this way, you know. And next thing you know, you start to realize what that chord means, the function of it, you know, how it propels the music, you know. So that's what connects for me, you know. I still think about it that way now. When I think about a chord, I think about something I've learned in school. I relate it to an experience, a feeling, a way that you should use it in order to make music feel a certain way, you know. So, yeah, that's my experience, you know, and I'm thankful for my parents, because if it wasn't for them, I would have never went to a music school or even thought that I can make a living in music. You know, growing up in church, music is just, it's what you did.
Right.
You know, I would have went to college for pharmacy or something, trying to make some money. You know what I'm saying? You know?
So. Now, your high school was also the subject of a documentary called Chops, when you went up to the essentially Ellington competition. And that was an era when a couple of public schools from the Seattle area were really dominating. So who beat you guys that year? Was it Roosevelt or Garfield?
Well, the first year was Garfield that beat us. But then we went back and we won.
That's right.
You know, but the thing is, all of the years around us, Garfield and Roosevelt were like swapping, you know, winning. And I mean, they were, oh, I forgot the band director. I've been to Garfield here. And I know his wonderful singer, Isabella DuGraff, who was there. She's here. She's going to come to the show tonight, too.
Oh,
hopefully
great.
She's there. But anyway, we were there, and I remember seeing this band the first time I went and said, man, we're not good enough. You know, we're like from Florida. We're down in the South, and it's like, man, whatever we're doing is not, it's not working, you know. So to go back and win had a profound effect on me as a musician. And I have to say, a lot of it has, you know, an effect on why I decided to do music professionally. You know, going to the Essentially Ellington competition and being in that around that many musicians who were my age, you know, who were serious. So,
yeah. Now, one of your first professional early experiences was working with Carmen Lundy, and I wonder if you could tell us what kind of education you got working with that amazing singer.
Well, completely different education.
Yeah.
Because for me, growing up in high school, it was about the tradition, where the kind of high school I came up in, studying with Marcus Roberts when I was in college, which most of us have, Rick and Barry, we all went to school at Florida State University, where we studied with Marcus Roberts. But before I got with Marcus Roberts, my high school tradition was the teaching was very traditional, learning about the lineage of jazz, learning about the greats, you know, really understanding the concept of swing, the blues, you know, the elements and the folk elements of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I get to Carmen Lundy, it explodes a little bit, because Carmen is pushing the music forward. She's pushing it ahead, which I appreciate as well. And so she actually gave me the confidence to listen to who I am as an artist, as well as take the things that I've learned over the years and combine it, you know? And so that's why she's special, because I'm 19 years old, my last year in college, I think it was, or maybe like I was still in college when I was touring with Carmen Lundy, if I'm not mistaken. And she's like, "I want to take you. I want to work with you." And I'm like, "Okay, you want to work with me? Okay, you know." I actually have a funny story about it, yeah, just to tell you. I was at the Betty Carter Jazz Ahead program, which is where I met her. And Betty Carter Jazz Ahead is in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center, and they choose a lot of young jazz, I don't want to say phenoms, but I guess you have to be good to go, you know. Yeah.
Quote, unquote, rising,
you know,
stars.
Yeah, well, you know, that works, you know. So anyway, we get there, we go through the whole 2 weeks symposium, and we're like, you know, working with Billy Taylor, the late Billy Taylor, Nathan Davis, Carmen Lundy, Curtis Fuller, George Cables. It was really great at the Kennedy Center for 2 weeks, just like, you know, in the thick of it. So Carmen comes up to me the day before the last day, and she says, "Hey, I want to work with you." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm a boy from Florida. You know, I'm young. You know, I've never been outside of the United States ever before." So that night, I went to Kinko's, and I printed up some business cards, you know, because I didn't have no business cards. So I got on the computer, and, you know, they had, like, the little PC, and, you know, you did a little business card template, and all I had was my name, my email address, and my phone number on a little blue card. I had thousands of these cards. I mean, I cut them up in my hotel room. But anyway, the next day, she says, "Do you have a card?" And let me tell you, I was so excited to give her that card, and she had no clue how much work. I told her later, but she had no clue that I sat in my room and cut those cards up to give it to her. And then a month later, I was in the Ukraine on my first tour, London. Next thing you know, it's 10 years later, and I'm, you know, doing this. So I thank her a lot, you know.
Stone Cold professional, Jameson Ross. And what are we going to hear from the band next, Jameson?
You know, I'm going to play a tune that I like to pay homage to the singing drummer, Grady Tate, mm-hmm. You know. And so this is a tune that he recorded, Donny Hathaway recorded as well, Sack Full of Dreams.
I've got a dream for the world. Peace in the rivers and everywhere. Bridges of steel and love. Cities that smile. Gray, empty faces walk by, and the hands try to hide all the loneliness, lighting a cigarette to blow time away. Wanting the same, wanting to share, wanting to share all of my dreams for the world. Can they learn to understand the world of love that I'm dreaming? I said, I've got a sack full of dreams, streets full of laughter and toy balloons, people with hearts that who listen for love. Oh, wanting the same, wanting to care, wanting to share all of my dreams for the world. Can they learn to understand the world of love that we're dreaming? Dreaming, 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 dreaming. Thank you. wanting to share all of my dreams for the world. Can they learn to understand the world of love that I'm dreaming? The world of love that we're dreaming. The world of love. A world of laughter, laughter. A world of safety. A world of safe places to go. A world of safety. A world of love.
Drummer Jameson Ross singing live in the studios with his band, and the Grammy-nominated album is called Jameson. Jameson Ross, could you tell us about putting together this record?
Well, at first, I wasn't going to sing, I'll tell you that. I was just going to play some drums. But as 3 years went by before I actually came up with the concept to just, you know, be myself, you know, it takes a lot to do that as a young jazz musician out here in a very tough environment. You know, the trenches, they can be pretty honest to you. and so, to be honest, you know, I have a lot of influences, people who have, and a lot of my influences have different viewpoints on things, you know, mm-hmm. But they all influence me. And so, for me, doing this record, I just had to kind of ignore all of them and then be myself. So nobody talks about that when you're studying jazz and studying music. And but that's what I had to do. It was like, hey, you know what? How can I just be myself? And that's why I named the record Jameson. It was like, you know what? Let me just find who am I in the music. I know that I've always been singing. I've grown up in the church on a regular basis. I've studied jazz, spent 7-8 years. I've toured it with different people, completely different concepts. You know, people coming from different eras. You know, people dealing with the 60s, dealing with the 70s. You know, that's what we're all about. That's when we call jazz, we can't ignore all of it. You can't just pick a piece of it. And so for me, being myself was bringing my innate, you know, beginning to the music and saying, okay, you know what, here's a depiction of where I am now, and here's a little, you know, peek of where I'm going to take this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I must say that's putting it together. After that, I thought about who I wanted to play with, which after that, you know, whole mental struggle and, you know, trying to, you know, get the confidence to do it. I say, you know what? I want to play with people who I've been playing with since I started to really develop in this music, which is Rick Lawler, Barry Stevenson. On the record is Chris Patershaw, and all of them are Florida State alumni. We all studied with Marcus Roberts. And I said, man, I want to put a band together that we can play and have a connection and a sound, you know, versus just calling, you know, the greats, which, you know, they would have treated my record like a record date, you know.
Yeah, right.
Which, you know, well, no, I'm sure Papa Reed wouldn't have. I mean, I you know, and honestly, well, Papa Reed is so funny because I actually asked a great musician who I should call when I was coming to L.A. to play the first time I played, which is about a year ago. We played L.A. And they said, call Eric Reed. And I was like, man. And I have so much respect for him that I was nervous to call him. I was like, oh, man. Like, you know, I wonder if he would play my music. And he came to the gig and, I mean, played the, I don't want to, you know, say a bad word, but he played down. He played, they say it in New Orleans, they say that. He played down, you know. He played down means he did an amazing job. And honestly, every time he plays the music, he takes us to a new level. We talked about it yesterday. Like, he lifts the entire concept of what I'm trying to do and what we're trying to do and takes it somewhere, which you can't ask for something better from someone who's done it long for years before us, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I didn't give a number. I just said, you know, years before. No, but I have so much respect for him, you know. And then I've researched him too. He probably doesn't know this, but I looked online and saw him playing, you know, hymns in the church on the piano, and just kind of really got a deeper view of where he comes from in the music, you know. And that's so much respect for my. And then hear his records, you know, his jazz records, and it's like, man. Like, he's deep, and yeah. That's what I aspire to be, you know, and I've played with a lot of different people, you know, my good sisters, Cecile McLaurin, Salvant, you know, John Batiste, Carmen Lundy, you know, I've worked with a lot, Christy McBride, everybody has different approaches to the music, you know, I've done all kind of sub-gigs, and I get it, but I have respect for him because he gets it too, and he's done it longer than I have, so it means it's possible, you know?
Right.
It's possible, so, yeah.
You mentioned before that last song about Grady Tate and the singing drummers. There are not a lot of singing drummers. Was there ever a point where you're like, I probably shouldn't sing?
Well, actually, there are quite a few drummers who used to, you know, play drums before they sung, you know. Maybe not in the jazz idiom, but, you know, Marvin Gaye, Teddy Pendergrass, you know, they all, Maurice Wright, they were drummers first, you know. And then, you know, Harry Belafonte. I mean, there's Dave Grohl on the whole other scene. Of course, yeah. Phil Collins, you know. I like Phil Collins personally. You know, his voice, the I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Can't deny it. You know, next record.
What? Oh, see, if you come tonight, I might do that live. I got an idea anyway already, you know. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, for me, there's a tune on the record entitled Epiphany. We're not going to play it today, but it explores how I'm trying to fit my soul, gospel-influenced vocal into the idiom of jazz. And so I'm taking the rhythmic nature of the greats, the many greats, and I'm taking the melodic nature of some backyard, you know, Baptist church and yeah. trying to put it together. That an epiphany I had, which is the name of the tune, is that I could do it. So that's what it's all about for me. It's the concept, you know, and the concept is breeding the message. The message is breeding the concept. It's like a trade-off, you know. The music, it's inspiring what music to play, what covers, what original music. And I'm excited because this is the beginning of it. And so I'm just going to keep focusing on the music and hopefully good things happen like I did the first time. Yeah.
We've got time for one more in the studios today. What would you like to play for us, Jameson?
One more. Let's do Deep Down in Florida.
All right. Florida. Heading down south, Jameson Ross and his quartet live on KPLU.
Sun shines every day. Deep down in Florida, where the sun shines every day now. Well, I'm gonna take my woman to the beach. We're gonna sit down in the sand and play. Well, deep down. I said the sun shines every day. Deep down in Florida, the sun shines every day. Oh, I said every day. Well, I'm gonna take my woman to the beach. We're gonna sit down in the sand and play, yeah. Papa Reed now. down in Florida, where the sun shines every day. Oh, deep down in Florida, I said the sun shines every day. Baby girl, I just want a ticket down to the beach now. Beach, beach, beach now. I said the sun shines every day. I said the sun shines every day now. I said the sun shines every day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The sun shines every day. I said, baby girl, I just wanna take you down to the beach now, beach now, beach now. Up, 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 up. Deep down in Florida, where the sun shines every day. I wanna take you down to Florida. I said, the sun shines every day, even on today. I wanna take my woman to the beach. We're gonna sit down, oh, in the sand and play. Hey, hey, sit down in the sand and play.
Drummer and singer Jameson Ross and his band live in the studios at KPLU.